Revelation chapter 3, verse 20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches." You may be seated. Amen. A couple of questions for you. Why do you do ministry? Why do you praise and worship? Why do you give of yourself? Why do you do what you do for the Lord? Why? It's your purpose. It's your purpose. It's your God-given purpose. You were predestined for greatness. You were predestined to do this. This is your purpose. Now, in Romans, I'm sorry, in Revelation chapter 3, John is talking about what Jesus the Christ has given to him. So he's addressing seven churches. And starting with verse 14, this is the last church that is being addressed. It's the lukewarm church. Now, this church was addressed back then in those days, but it still applies to us today. Amen? Okay. So let me give you a little bit of background on this lukewarm church. It was the last church to be spoken of in Asia Minor. It was best known for its banking establishments, for its financial wealth, medical schools, and they made this famous eye salve. So those who had problems seeing, they had this concoction. Now, they had the best medical schools, so they had this concoction that they put together to where they would, anyone that had a problem seeing, they used an eye salve to put on their eyes so that they would see better. They also were high regarded in the textile industry. Amen? Amen. So, this was their weakness as it related to society. Their weakness was they had a lack of water supply. Now, if you were that great, banking establishment, medical school, the textile industry, eyesight, you would think that they would really have a plethora of water supply. But that was one of the drawbacks that this church experienced. They did not have an adequate water supply. And then there was their weakness in Christ. And their weakness in Christ was because they had all of this, because they was rich, they were a rich province, they didn't supply healing for the spiritually sick, nor refreshments for the spiritual weary. So they had shortcomings as it related to society, but they really had a problem. The main problem was what Christ had with them. They were lukewarm. This is a definition of lukewarm. You're not hot nor you cold. So here you are, you're just like, I know what my purpose is. I know that I am supposed to love my neighbor as myself, but I'm not feeling that today. I didn't wake up on the right side of the bed. I woke up on the wrong side of the bed. I ain't feeling it today. You look warm. When you decide that to talk to my family because they hurt me 30 years ago, and I still don't want my children, my grandchildren, my niece and nephews to be bothered with that side of the family. However, to God be the glory, I am a fire baptized saved Christian. You look warm. You look warm. Now, he says he will spit you out because you're neither hot nor cold. You're lukewarm. In other words, I'm straddling the fence. Now, I know that I am saved. I know that I've sinned. I'm just not ready to give up my worldly dues. I'm lukewarm. I'm not saying that you cannot enjoy life as a born-again believer, a born-again believer, but you can't straddle the fence. You're going to have to be either or. And guess what? Your purpose is to be who God has called you to be. We are now not called to be industrial engineers. We are now not called to be professional athletes. We are all not called to be renowned artists. We are all not called to serve in Congress. Somebody need to tell Trump that. We are not all called to do these things, but whatever you are called to do, know your purpose. Know your purpose. And guess what? Your purpose is in this word. Your purpose is in the word. Trust and believe. I've been hanging out with Jesus a long time. I didn't always know my purpose. I didn't know what he would have me to do. All I know is that I needed him in my life. All I know is that I was having a hard time. And I knew that my mother, my grandmother, my aunts and my uncles, they could not save me. I knew that. That I did know. But I didn't know what my purpose was. And everybody's not going to know soon as you take salvation. Everybody's not going to know that. But what you do need to know is that you are nothing. And whatever you do in life, you are nothing without Christ. Amen. 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 Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. So, the addresser is the God of truth, who is perfect, trustworthy, and faithful. That means he ain't gonna tell you nothing wrong. He ain't going to tell you nothing wrong. The addressee were those self-deluded members of the congregation of yesterday. And those of us that are wavering about our purpose in today. It's addressed to us. It was addressed to them back then. But it's still going on now. It's still going on today. We're still wavering. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So, in knowing your purpose, know that there's three things that Christ will do. Christ will do three things. He will commend you, and he will complain, and he will correct. That's what he did with the lukewarm church in Revelations. Please read chapter 3 because it's great. So, and you guys, I know everyone brought a pencil and paper because you know I'm going to always be full of scriptures. Amen? Amen. That's right. That's right. Now, so let's do a reflection here. And given what your purpose is, and remember I told you it was in the book. Let's start with Old Testament. Samuel, and we're going to go, Samuel was a priest. And you know from the time of the chosen ones, which was the Israelites, from that time, even though that they were chosen by God, they feel as though they didn't choose God. Does that kind of think about it? I chose you to be my friend, but you didn't choose me to be your friend. So there's a one-sided relationship we have going on right here. Because I like you, but you really don't care for me. That was kind of, if you look at it and if you read that, that was kind of what the Israelites were dealing with. That's what they were doing. Understand something. They were God's chosen people. Not were. They are God's chosen people. Unfortunately, they did not choose God means I can't go straight to God for what I am doing wrong, for me to be chastised, for me to be reproved, for me to be corrected. They didn't want to do that. Why? Because they saw God as this big, it was bigger than life, they're bigger than what they was willing to accept. Why? Because we do things and we think that nobody sees us in our wrongdoing. Those are our iniquities. We doing that behind closed doors. We don't want nobody to know exactly what we're doing. And that's what the Israelites were doing. So what did they want? They wanted priests. They wanted judges. And then they wanted a king. So Saul was the king. And Samuel was the priest. And Samuel told Saul, because you did not follow God's commandments, you will not have ownership over this countryside forever. So guess what? And it wasn't good. But Samuel told Saul in 1 Samuel 3 and 14. He said, the Lord has sought out a man after his own heart. God knew who David was from a child.
Amen. That's right.
He knew what David would be doing for him for a child. What is he going to do? He's going to carry out his purpose. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And after David, succession, and trust me, remember the three things I told you. He commends you, he complains, and he corrects. So he commended David for his work as a young lad with his slingshot. Remember, children? He remembered David as a young lad going up against the giants, the Philistine, Goliath. He remembered that. He also remembered what David did with Bathsheba. He remembered that. But he remembered his heart more than anything. And David knew that he loved the Lord more than anything. See, understand something. None of us are perfect. We mess up, we make mistakes over and over and over again. That's who we are. That's our being. That's our natural makeup. Imperfection. That is our natural makeup. Imperfection. But our heart is stayed on Jesus. That's where the perfection comes of it is. That's the perfect love. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. After David reigned, he passed it down to his son. And I want you to write this scripture down. You don't have to go, but I'm going to go. It is 1 Kings chapter 2. Verses 2 through 4. And I want you to see that this is lining up with God's purpose. It says, and this is David talking to his son. He's giving him the charge. I go the way of the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, and his commandments, and his judgments, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou go, thou turnest thyself. The Lord may continue his word which he spoke concerning me, saying, if thy children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fall thee, said he, a man on the throne of Israel. So he already had predestined this. This was already predestined. But this was also the purpose. See, he had given him his purpose. David knew his purpose. He gave his purpose. Now he gave the charge to Solomon. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now, that's Old Testament. And then you know what Solomon did. And then we go on, and we go on, and we go on, and we go on, and we go on. So, and our Heavenly Father, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost, in their infinite wisdom, they decided that Jesus Christ had to come down here in the flesh to show us how to do this thing right. So that's the difference between Malachi and Matthew. 400 years. They had to really think about this. No, they didn't have to really think about it. They had to really turn themselves over to themselves. I'm going to let you stew in this for a while. And that's exactly what they did. I'm talking about the Trinity. The Trinity allowed them to stew in themselves for a while. Yeah. And then Jesus came on the scene to show us how to do this thing. Yeah. Show us what our purpose is. In the Old Testament, you had 10 commandments. Jesus did away with all 10 of them, just gave you two. Two commandments. Love the Lord with all thy heart, all thy mind, all thy soul. And then love your neighbor. If you love the Lord, you won't do all that other stuff. Idol worshiping and everything. If you love your neighbor, you won't do all that other stuff. Kill, steal, covet, all of that. All of that. He broke it down for you. He made it real easy. We went from 10 to 2. That's it. You don't have to worry about all that other stuff. Keep it simple. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So, as the disciples walked with Jesus, and he taught them, and he trained them, and he marveled and showed the miracle signs and wonders to his disciples, to the Jews, they still... they still didn't quite get it. But in every gospel, at the end of each book, starting with Matthew chapter 28, Jesus gives them a charge, the Great Commission. He says, go ye therefore to all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. He gave them, his disciples, that great commission. He told them that. He said, go all to all nations. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, that's what he said in Matthew. In Mark chapter 16, you guys write this down? Okay. Mark chapter 16, 15 through 18. Once again, he gives them the same charge. However, he gives it with a little bit more detail on how believers will overcome their obstacles. And then in Luke chapter 24, 26, once again, he's still giving his disciples the same charge. And he's telling them, now he's reminding them of what they would do, what he did, and what they're going to do greater later. Only through the Holy Spirit, though. Only through the Holy Ghost. So they had to stay there and wait for the Holy Ghost. Amen? Now, it doesn't say that in there, but, you know, sometimes we think outside the box. And I'm like, why would he have them to sit there and wait till the Holy Ghost came upon them? Because they had been walking with him for these 3.5 years. But Jesus saw, he foreknew once again, that they still were not ready. They still weren't ready for what, for the bigger picture. They could not see outside the box, unfortunately. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And then John chapter 21, he says, chapter 21, the 21st chapter of John, two things happen. Now, we know about Jesus Christ's death, his burial, and his resurrection, because he told us that. And he says that his Father will raise him from the dead, and he will be seated on the right hand of God on the throne. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So, in John, John tells the stories quite differently. So, in the 21st chapter, two things happen. Peter is already messed up because he had been told by Jesus that he would deny him 3 times before the clock struck 12. And it happened. Even though Simon Peter told Jesus it wouldn't happen, it still happened. Now, then after his resurrection, Peter is still dealing with his denial of Christ in Jesus' crisis. Amen? Okay. So this is what Peter does. Peter is out there in the boat because when Jesus had picked him up, he was fishing. So when Jesus left, he went back to fishing. So Peter is out here in the boat. He done took everything off. All he is in his shorts. And he looks off a distance. Someone on the land says, "Did you catch any fish yet?" And they said, "No." So the vision that they saw, the image that they said, he said, "Okay." Now mind you, they probably have been casting all over. From this area to this area to this area, because that was their livelihood. They had to catch fish in order to sell fish in order to make money.
Right.
So the image far off, probably where Brother Fred is, he says, "Cast your net on the right side of your boat." That was significant to me. He said, "Cast your net on the right side." And guess what? They cast their net on the right side, and Peter was able to catch a multitude of fish. That matter of fact, the nets broke while they was coming to shore. What is the point of that? The point of that is Jesus said, "I'm on the right hand of the Father." So if he's giving you directions to be on the right side, stay on the right side. Stay on the right side. Amen? Stay on the right side. Not the wrong side, the right side.
Amen?
Amen. Now, that was the first thing that he did. The second thing Christ did with Peter is after they had caught the fish and they came back to shore, he had breakfast with them. And he asked Peter 3 times. He asked him, "Did he love me?" He asked Peter, "Do you love me? Simon Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" Now, this bothered Peter because he was like, "You know I love you. You know I love you." But Christ told him 3 things. He told him to feed my lamb. Those are babies. Do you all know what lambs are? Lambs are baby sheep. He said, "Feed my lamb." So he wants Peter to feed those individuals who are babes in Christ. He wants them to feed them the word because they are babes in Christ. And then he told him to take care of my sheep. And he wants them to stay rooted in the word of Christ. And then he told him one more time, he said, "Feed my sheep with God's word. Continue to give the word to my people so that they would know what their purpose is. Amen?
Amen.
God is good. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Give them a hand clap of praise.
Amen.
Now, let me tell you how awesome you guys are. There are things that are going on in your life, struggles that you are having right now, and you do not feel as though you're worthy. I'm here to tell you right now, you are worthy.
Amen.
Not only do you have a predestined, you have a purpose, but you were predestined for your purpose.
Amen. Amen.
Let me share a little bit more with you. So the disciples were still struggling with what their assignment was. So, in their struggle, they were not able to communicate properly to the Gentiles. Why? Because they were uncircumcised, number one. You were not the chosen one, so you don't get to go. That's how they saw it. Even though, and that's why I think Jesus was like, they still don't get it. Because if you had walked with me this time, you know, and I gave you the charge. I told you to go to all nations. Jews are not in all nations. They still didn't get it. They still did not get it. Man. But you guess what? Jesus knew this. He knew this. Why did he know this? Because the prophet Isaiah, prophesied that the privilege of proclaiming and witnessing would be taken away from the Jews, and the salvation of God would be sent to the Gentiles.
Amen.
He already knew this.
Yeah.
He told them this. This is why Paul had to come on the scene. Because he gave this charge to the disciples. They still hadn't got it. He said all nations. So in Acts, the book of Acts, the history of our New Covenant Testament, our epistles, our character of what we should be walking in now. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So the book of Acts recounts this. Chapter 9, Paul's conversion. Chapter 15, James, which was one of Jesus, which was one of Christ's disciples, reiterates the Gentiles' purpose. I'm giving you these scriptures so you can go back and study them. Chapter 22, it's confirmed by Christ. Christ even, you know what, now that we will go to. Acts chapter 22, verse 18. It is confirmed by Christ that the Jews weren't ready to believe nor receive. Acts 22 and verse 18 says, it sure is warm in here. Is that air on? Ooh, Lord. Chapter 22, verse 18. This is Christ talking to Paul. He says, now Paul was in the synagogues, and he was sitting up there praying, and all of a sudden a trance fell on him. And Jesus said, and saw him saying unto me, this is Jesus talking to Paul, make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. Now this is after Jesus has died, has been buried, has resurrected, and has ascended. And the Jews still will not receive the testimony of Christ's life. That's the problem. So Paul said, so Christ told Paul, get out of Jerusalem. I told the disciples to go to all nations. I told them to stay in to Jerusalem until they received the Holy Ghost. But I'm telling you, Paul, to get out of Jerusalem because they are still not receiving what I have to say. So, getting to your destiny. Now, in Romans, Paul reminds us, the Gentiles, how we were predestined, how we were chosen, and all that good stuff. However, God's promise is not to be forgotten. Israel is still the chosen. So don't get caught up in your purpose and thinking that you're better or you going before them. Now, you have still have to remember, he still has a chosen nation. I want you to write this scripture down. You don't have to go to it, just write it down. I'm going to read it to you. It's Romans 10, 9, and 10. This is very important. Because if you heard what I said, the privilege of proclaiming and witnessing will be taken away from the Jews, and the salvation of God will be sent to the Gentiles. Yeah. So Romans 10, 9, and 10, chapter 10, verses 9 and 10 said that if thou confess with thy mouth that Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Yeah. From with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. See how simple that is? Lord, I'm a sinner. I deserve everything that you give to me. But I believe in your son, Jesus Christ. I believe what he did. He did it just for me. That's how personal you guys got to make it. That's how you make it for yourself. Make it personal. Knowing that everything that you have done, that your wages of your sins are death. But Jesus loved you that much that not only did they didn't take his life, he gave his life.
Come on.
That's how much love he has for you. He gave you his life. He laid it down. Didn't nobody take it. He laid it down for you. That's the love that he has for you. Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Forgive me. It sure is warm in here. Lord Jesus, please. Yeah. So now that Paul had to get out, Paul also had to get out of Jerusalem. But that's where the church began.
Yeah.
The church didn't begin in the Pentecost. It didn't begin on the day of Pentecost. The early churches, that's where all of them started forming. Why? Because Paul started preaching to us, the Gentiles. And he started telling us, after he gave his testimony of everything that he went through, now he's trying to tell us the changes that we need to make on the inside. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. So, John chapter 10, verse 16. Amen. Let's go there. Because I want you guys to know how predestined you are. This is how predestined you are. John chapter 10, verse 9, he says, now this is Jesus talking. He's talking about being a good shepherd because that's who he is. Right?
Right.
So, knowing. And this is why I keep saying that the disciples didn't get it. Because he was talking about us back then. He said, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I will bring, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall be one fold and one shepherd. He already had it planned. He knew that we would be the one carrying the message. Not the Jews. It would be the Gentiles carrying the message of Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And that is where we are today in corporate anointing. One church, one body. Okay, let me say that. Not one church, one body. We are all one body. And there's one Christ. That's it. He already said this. He had corporate anointing back there in chapter 10 of John. Corporate anointing. Why? Because he said, and there shall be one fold. We don't have all these sheepfolds out there.
Right.
Christ is not coming back for all of that.
Right.
He's coming back for one body.
Right.
So we all have to come together.
Yeah.
Everyone. Baptist. Non-denomination, apostolic, Jesus only, Jehovah's Witness. I mean, everybody is going to have to come together. Because that's what he's coming back for. He is not coming back for the perfect, full gospel church. He is not coming back for that. He is not coming back for the first Mary Jehovah Catholic Church. He is not coming back for that. He's coming back for one body of believers. So guess what? We are all in this together. This is our purpose. We are all in this together. We cannot do this alone. We can't do it without Christ, but we can't do it without each other either. And that's what we have to start driving home. Drive your purpose home. We are not by ourselves. We are not one church. We're one body. There are many churches, but we're one body. And we have to get that mentality in our head about being one body. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So now this goes to our scripture. And I'm almost done, Therese. That's what's up. Verse 20. It says, behold, I am the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. So after you have recited Romans 10, 9 and 10 to yourself, because that is your basis for your salvation. That is the basis. Okay. Now, you will have comfort because you have allowed him to come into your life and to come into sup with you. You're in the safety zone. And what I mean by safety zone, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying nothing is ever not going to happen to you, but you rest assured you are in God's will when you are resting in him. Rest assured of that. When he is in you and he is in your heart, that's what the door is talking about. Let's go to John. So we're still in the book of John. We're still in chapter 10. Let's go up. We were down in 16, so let's move up a little bit. Let's go to verse 9. He said it right there.
Yeah.
I am the door. That's what Jesus said. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And shall go in and out and find pasture. When you find pasture in him, knowing that he will supply all of your needs. That's what it means. When you're in pasture with him, he's supplying all of your needs. You don't need anything. Once again, we iterate that in Matthew 6:33. He's going to give you everything, but you have to seek him first and the kingdom of righteousness. And the Lord will add all things unto you. So that means he's going to supply all of your needs as well. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So, verse 21. I'm sorry, I am going back and forth. Revelations chapter 3. I want you to see the compare and con. I need you to see what Jesus was talking about then when he was with the disciples and where we are today. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And it says in verse 21, it says, to him that overcometh, will I grant to you to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. And that is exactly what we talked about yesterday in Vacation Bible School. Your suffering will not separate you from the love of Christ, but actually it carries you along towards your ultimate goal. Romans chapter 8, verse 36 through 39. Write it down. You know what? That's the scripture we should put on our refrigerator. It is. We go to the refrigerator a lot, don't we? That's the scripture we need to put on our refrigerator. Because it lets you know. And see, Paul got this. He got this what the disciples could not grasp. He got this. Even though he was educated, he was a scholar, he knew it all, he was a persecutor, he persecuted all of the believers of Christ during his walk, and then he turned around and God used the very same man that killed all of the ones that were following Christ in. Right. He used the same one to go back and bring us out so that we can bring this message on. Man, he knew it. God is so infinite. Ooh, he is infinite. Yeah. Now, check this out. Romans chapter 8, 36 through 39. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yep. Yep. Remember when Jesus was telling Simon Peter to feed my sheep?
Yeah.
We're sheep. And they plan to kill us all the day long from the time you come out your mom's womb. I'm sorry. Nay, in all things we are what? More than conquerors. Amen, amen. Through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to do what? Separate us from the love of God, which is what? In Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. So guess what Jesus said? He said, as long as, he said, I overcame. And I'm seated on the right hand. He said, you can overcome too. Why? Because you're in me. He came down here and showed us how to do this.
Right.
He showed us how to do this. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Because he showed us how to do this. We don't have any more excuses. One vocabulary that was taken out of my mouth a long time ago, thanks to my mother, was I can't. There is no such word as can. Yes, it is in the dictionary. Yes, Tamia, it is a contraction. And it's broken down in the form of cannot. But Christ didn't say that you cannot. Christ said we can do all things through him that strengthens us. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. And so, verse 22 says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. That was instruction. That was the instruction that Christ had given to that church yesterday. And that is the instruction that he gives to us today.
Yeah. Amen.
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 Amen. So, my last scripture, well, it's not my last scripture, Therese. I got one more. But My last scripture, John, the Gospel according to John, chapter 16, verses 12 through 15. This is major here. Because we read in verse 22, it says, he that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And what Jesus, once again, is speaking to us, to the disciples, then, but he's speaking it to us now. And it says, I have yet many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you in all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall make of mine, and shall show it unto you. Meaning, the Holy Spirit is in you. When he told the disciples that he wouldn't leave them comfortless, he was sending a counselor to hear on his behalf, to reconcile, to be able to break down what you're doing wrong. That's the Holy Ghost. So when he left for the disciples, he left it for you. You are predestined for greatness. You are the ones that God knew all along, even when he chose the Jews. Guess what? He knew that we as Gentiles would be the ones to get the message out. We are the ones to get this message out. We are the ones. I was talking to Pastor. Pastor said, there are synagogues now that are teaching salvation, that are teaching Christ. Where did they get that from? The Gentiles. It's the times of the Gentiles. We are in the dispensation of grace, but it's our time. And we will be the ones to bring everyone to Christ, even his chosen one. So don't get it twisted when Romans 11:25 says that. Don't get haughty. Don't think that it's all about you, because my chosen ones are still my chosen ones. But guess what? I need you to bring them to where they were supposed to be. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. You are destined for this. And I'm not going to read this scripture, but I want you to write this down. Ephesians 1, verses 13 through 23. Christ is the center of God's plan. Only in relationship to Christ is there a meaningful future. Responding to God's call. Amen. Christ is not just the head of the church. He's the head of everything. Everything in fullness is for him. Everything that is made and created, it was made for him, through him. We're going to be used by him.
Amen.
This is our purpose.
Yeah.
When you know what your purpose is, you can do this thing with no problem. And guess what? We're going to do it all in love. Why? Because he first loved us. Love, 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 love. Everything that you do, do it because of love.
Amen.
Everything that you do. Even your enemies that come up against you, you can be nice to them in love. It's hard. I know. I've done it. I am doing it. And boy, is it hard. But guess what? The love that I have in Christ is greater in me than the dislike that I have for anybody on this earth. That's how I know you can do it. Because I'm doing it. Remember your purpose. Remember why you do what you do for Christ. You do it for love.
Yeah.
He did it for love. So who are we? We are imitators of Christ. We are doing the same thing to him, for him, through him.
Yes.
That he did for his father. He came down and showed us the way to do this.
Yeah.
So guess what? Do it. That's what Nike said. Just do it. Just do it. Nike and Christ. Just do it. Just do him. Just. I dare you. I dare you. As Pastor said, I double dog dare you. I dare you. That if you were to sit down and ask, what is your purpose? And really, really, truly are ready to receive it, he gonna do a quick work in you. He gonna do it quick. He gonna do it quick. But you gotta be ready. Be ready, be ready, be ready, be ready, be ready, be ready, be ready. I don't want you to be lukewarm. Don't straddle the fence. We all fall short. But you can do this. Even my young people. This gentleman right here. What position you play? Defensive end. Stand up. This young man here, he is a defensive end. That means nobody's supposed to get past you, right? Nobody is supposed to get around you. What he said was, no, actually, I'm supposed to go and get them. And as a defensive end, that is what you're supposed to do. We're supposed to flatline. That is your purpose in football, correct? So when you wake up every day and you know that this is your purpose, what drives you from that purpose? Can anything drive you from that purpose? Can anything deter you from what you're supposed to do as a defensive end? Can't hear.
No.
No. Okay. Because you have made a decision that this is what you're going to do, and can't nobody take that away from you. Is that correct?
Yes.
Amen. So, as a defensive end, let's go another way. If you made a decision that you were going to be a child of God, that Jesus Christ is going to be your Lord and Savior, is there anything that can deter you from keeping that relationship with your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ?
No.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah.
But it's hard work, isn't it? Just like being a defensive end, isn't it? It's hard work, right? That's right. So just like you got to do that every day, like you got to get up every day, just like he gets up and he has to go out there because he is getting ready to go into battle for his college. He's getting ready to go in battle for his college. And that's what he says. Today is the day that they going down. And guess what? As a believer, as a child of God, that's what you get up every day. You get up every day and saying that that enemy, sometimes the inner me, sometimes they going down. That's right. You get up every day. Every day you get up. It's hard work. And trust and believe, as a football player, you have rigorous training, don't you? Yes. It's hard, ain't it? Woo, I know it's hard. Rigorous training. You can have a seat here. Thank you. Rigorous training. As a football player, they got everything. They got weight bench, everything to make sure that they can be the best effective football player that they can be. That's what they do. And here's your rigorous training. for you to be the best effective Christian, born again believer, child of God that you can be every day. Every day. Every day. This is the plan here. We have to work it. We have to work it. And it's hard. It is hard work. But guess what? What he has for you, can't nobody take away from you. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. We run this race. 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 It's hard. But please, beloved, be encouraged. Be encouraged. He said, that young man said that nothing was going to deter him from being a child of God. Now, mind you, I didn't say he wasn't going to have any obstacles. I didn't say that. I didn't say he wasn't going to be put on blast. I didn't say that either. I didn't say he wasn't going to be talked about by his peers. I didn't say that either. What he said was nothing was going to keep him from being that child of God and that relationship that he has with the Lord. You will have obstacles. So give the Lord a hand clap of praise for the mountains that are in your life. You have to move. Come on, come on, come on. Do the Lord of God. Amen. Amen. Everyone to your feet. God is good. God is great. And greatly to be praised. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.